All right, guys, welcome to the first episode of MCOC Dirt. We're kicking this episode off with a great guest, one of the premier players worldwide. He's a veteran of Master Alliances, a few Alliance number one titles under his belt, Mr. Quake himself. You guys know him as Dr. Blythe. How you doing, man? Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No worries. So we were talking earlier and you mentioned you got the titles, but you didn't get the rewards from last season.
Yeah, no rewards. I sent in some tickets to Kabam, and at this point, I don't think I'm getting it.
So you're still kind of trying and waiting to hear back, but they're just kind of
building you all the way. At this point, it's I kind of just gave up. I'm just kind of just playing the game now.
That's pretty messed up, though, man. So you got a compensation package, right?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, pretty good, but not equivalent to what you would have gotten for a number one finish, correct?
That's right. But what can you do?
So tell me about how it all kind of came together. So you're playing, everything's going along normal. You're not doing anything out of the ordinary. I imagine you're pretty much a Quake user every chance you get in a war match, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't until like around the time of my ban when I really like perfected how to play her.
Okay, so you changed the method basically.
Yeah, but prior to that I was playing her like very similar to everyone else with like maybe some more evades, but like eventually I decided to like, what if I could like just practice and like do that 100% of the time, every time. I don't know.
So it's you dropping off the parries and just going with the auto evade and manual evade that you think triggered the flags?
I think it goes a little bit beyond that, because like I was doing it on, because I was running like three accounts at the time.
Okay.
And I was doing them on all the accounts, but the only difference was on the one that was banned, I probably did the entire path with like zero errors, like every single fight in the war.
Were they linked, or are you waiting on links to be busted before you go ahead?
Every single war I've done for many seasons now, I've done at least like one or two linked fights.
Okay, so nothing out of the
ordinary. Yeah, my officers usually don't like it, but I do it anyways. They're like, we know you're good, but you don't have to prove anything to us. I'm just like, yeah, but it looks so easy. Anyways, I just do it anyways. And then, yeah.
So what happens if you die, like, taking one of those linked nodes? Are they flipping out, or are they like...
Oh, of course. They're flipping out for sure.
That's great. So this happened when you were in NY718, right?
Yeah.
And did they get a mail from Kabam about it? Like every other time there's been any sort of piloting ban, anything like that, usually they didn't get anything?
Nothing.
So you guys are just kind of in the dark totally. You can't get logged in and nobody's telling you a damn thing about anything.
No. There was a similar case with another alliance that I was also part of at the same time. It was the season before that. It was like a couple member, like one member. I was in Kenobi as well.
Okay.
And you heard of like Ray?
Yep.
Yeah. So he got banned for, I guess he lived with his brother, Pepe.
Now they ended up getting that overturned as well, right?
Yeah. It was detected as piloting somehow, even though they never played on each other's. They don't even share devices. They're different devices, different brands even, like wow. Samsung and Apple.
Wow.
But they're on the same Wi-Fi, right?
So they had to go through kind of the same bullshit that you went through, except they weren't close enough to go make a visit, I guess.
No, but like that visit was pointless. That didn't go anywhere.
Did you actually talk to anybody, or is it just...
I did, like... They explained it pretty clearly that they pretty much had no like control over like changes to user accounts and whatnot.
So is this like a secretary that you ran into, security guards, or did you actually get to
It was
talk
just a
to some game?
receptionist, and she called in like one of the workers, but like it's all dev team members, like
Okay.
development. So
Okay.
it's no, there's no one from support.
Yeah, they probably outsource that, I guess.
Apparently, their support office is like all the way in Texas, so obviously, I'm not gonna go there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what did NY think about it when it went down? I mean, did they trust you enough to kind of buy the story, or are they asking for
Actually, yeah, because I'm quite like vocal about like everything I do, and like I'm not like one of those quiet members usually. Like I record like almost every one of my fights, and like I'm probably like one of those members that like never stops talking, so people
it?
are always knows that like it's me.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
So,
but yeah, everyone had my back. It was fine.
I noticed there was definitely a lot of reaching out going on. I saw more than a few of your alliance members going to the forum. I saw them bringing it up in chats. I even saw them on Reddit. They caught a lot of blowback. People didn't want to believe the story. They thought it was total horse shit. Are you guys are a bunch of cheaters? That sort of stuff. But it was interesting. I mean, they never changed their story. Everywhere where I saw it, it was, hey, this is what happened. This is why it happened. This is why it's fucked up. Like,
Yeah.
to me, that lended some credence to the whole thing. I mean, you see 1,000 people a day, if you pay attention, talking about getting banned wrongfully, and I didn't do this, I didn't do that. But eventually their stories kind of start to change a little bit over time, especially when you ask questions. But like,
Right.
NY was on point with their message the whole time, and it just started to sound a little fishier and fishier on Kabam's side. So
Yeah, plus I started hearing about other people who also got banned, and like it was kind of too much of a coincidence where they played the same character I played to like the same level almost, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? That's pretty damn rare.
Basically, you guys are the first players to basically get banned for being too good with a character. Like that's kind of what this comes down to in the end, right?
And I'm thinking there's got to be at least like 10 people.
Wow. Have you talked to all of them, or have you?
No, but I've been able to find a few through like YouTube. Like I'll go on to like other like big name YouTube, and then I'll look in the comments. I'll see a comment and be like, "Hey, I got banned, blah blah blah." It's like something like that, or like I'm better than that guy with this. Like it'd be a Quake video, or like someone's like saying that this is an amazing Quake player, and then you'll go in the comments. I'll go in the comments and I'll see some guy like I got, and then their comments like, "Oh, I got banned for being too good with her," and then I'll click on his name. I'll go into his channel and then I'll see like videos. Oh wow, this guy's like perfect.
That's wild, man. I mean, it's hard to buy as a player. Like I said, when
Yeah.
you've seen so many people that say they've been wrongfully banned, they did nothing wrong, and then it comes down to, man, I'm just too fucking good. The instinct is, fuck you, get out of here. Like, there's no way. But I mean, it seriously just looks like it's a fault in their flagging system, and they don't want to admit it. Like I get not wanting to explain how they look for cheaters. That totally makes sense to me. But in a situation like this, where they've obviously made a mistake,
Yep.
you got reinstated in the end. You've got your account. You're in good standing. You're not in trouble with them. You didn't have to buy them off or any crazy shit like that. Like
No.
when it comes down to it, it's just a flat out mistake. And they don't mention it. I mean, how did they go about letting you know that, okay, everything's good, you're back in? Like, how did you get back reinstated?
Well, I just checked line chat one day and my alliance is like, "Hey, our points are back." I'd be like, cool. so then I'm like, maybe I can log in now. And then, yeah, next thing you know, I can log in. So I'm like, wow, something must have worked.
Wow. So is that when you got the compensation mail?
Yeah, that's right. That's so that was when all the Quake players got unbanned, not just myself.
Okay, it's good to know that everybody else got back too.
Yeah, so it's like they dealt with all of us in one. I think there were so many tickets that got sent in, and they just kind of coupled them all to like this one category. And then it's like, you know what? Maybe there's something here. Let's check it. And then they probably checked it.
That's the thing. It seems like it's moving mountains to get them to kind of go out of their normal processes and check something that they don't expect to be fucked up.
Yeah, and all we can do is really just kind of just sit there.
Just wait and keep pounding away with messages and hope that they're not getting closed immediately.
I would actually recommend not to send tickets because I don't think it helps, to be honest.
So what was it that you guys did? Was it just pounding the forum? Was it
honestly, I think you'd have to go through like if you guys heard of the BBB, Bureau of Better Business?
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's you'll probably get a better chance just going through there.
Is that what you guys did?
Yeah, cuz you actually get a response with like specific answers.
Wow.
It takes longer, but
so the thing is, you post a complaint to the Better Business Bureau. They contact Kabam, and then Kabam has to reply in some way and go from there?
Not me directly, but like one of the other Quake players who were more, I don't know, better versed with like such
the business end of things.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Well, that's cool that it worked out that way. I'm glad somebody figured out kind of an end round to force them to talk.
Yeah, and they were able to like get a response from Kabam, and it specifically said it was due to using Quake in Alliance Wars.
So they did come out and admit this is a Quake issue.
Yeah.
Cut and dry. So that's the only argument online.
Yep.
Very interesting.
And the only way to get specific reasoning or answers of any kind is through the BBB, because you're never going to get it from Kabam.
That's good for players to know, though. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've had some sort of issue, whether it was something going wrong with the game, whoops, I didn't mean to use this item, you know, whatever it might have been, false advertising on a crystal, and I hit them with ticket after ticket after ticket, and it goes nowhere.
Once in a blue moon, like you'll have like a lucky guy. It's like to get help from their support is almost like pulling the duped feature off your first crystal. I don't know.
Support is also RNG based. I take it.
I think so. I think you're sending your ticket is. I would like use that. I would definitely use that. That metaphor right there.
No, that makes 100% sense. I mean, everything
spending
else
a ticket is the equivalent of opening an FGMC.
So 2% of tickets in any given week actually like get to someone who will answer it. The rest of them are just fuck you, here's your 3-star, go away.
Yeah, it's almost like there's some keywords in your ticket that just triggers an automated response.
Huh. So crazy. I know that recently they've gone to, I guess maybe in the past year, they've gone to the automatic form response telling you how important you are and that we're getting to this really, really quickly. And, you know, within a business day, you'll have another reply. And that's, you know, it sort of, I don't know. I'm sure it tricks some people into thinking that, okay, I'm really going to get somebody. But I mean, for me, in my experience, 9 times out of 10, it still leads to the same stop sign, basically. So
yeah, it does. It really does. I've sent like 30 tickets, maybe. I don't know.
Wow.
But So, I kind of just like stopped, but yeah. I was about to give up. I was literally about to give up. And then like the next day, I was like, wow, really?
Merry Christmas, man. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and then I just started playing again. I was ready to quit. I was like, even if I get unbanned, like I don't even feel like playing anymore.
Well, I mean, it pisses you off. I mean, you invest a lot in the game, whether it's time or money, effort, and to just get it taken away when, especially if you know you didn't do anything. I mean, that's
especially depressing because I had spent like a lot of money like the 3 days just prior to the ban.
They had a T5B offer around that time. Is that right?
Was that yeah, one? I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Gotcha.
I'm like one of those players that probably buys every single T5B or T2A deal.
Yeah. I've done a few. It's a hard sell for me. I normally try to stay away from the game when I see something that's so good that I just want to drop cash on it. And
to be honest, I'm trying to like not spend any more too, but it's really hard. I don't know why.
It is. I mean, you want to progress. You've got plans. You've looked at your roster. You know who your next ranks are. You know who you want to bring up fast and who you can wait on. And when you get that opportunity, it's so hard not to pull the trigger.
Who's the next champ you're going to take up?
Oh man, I've got a few. I try to be a good alliance mate. I will rank up some stuff for diversity. I try not to be totally selfish. For the longest time, I've been focused on trying to get a better defense, and I was looking at taking Sentinel up.
Oh yeah,
I like him, and I mean he's I don't know of any great over the top defenders anymore. I mean, you've got your two or three that are always going to be a pain in the ass. But I mean, everybody's figured out, for the most part, figured out Torg. People figuring
out. Sentinel's a great champ.
Sentinel's great. And I mean, it doesn't take a lot of little mistakes to put you in a bad place versus him. And he's still got a lot of great usage on attack. I mean, I know a lot of people that are taking him up against Omega on map 7.
He's good for that disc track path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the three debuffs on the.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're just blasting him with some incinerate and heal block and everything else that he's got, right?
Yeah, and that multiple armor break one.
Yep. He's good. He's clunky as hell, but he doesn't feel as clunky as like a Morningstar feels.
You know what? He's not going to die off a parry.
Very true.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. When he first came out, I was like, you know, this is a bullshit champ. I don't want anything to do with him. And I pulled him and I threw him up to rank 3 and tried him out a little bit. And the more I use him, the more I really like him. I saw somebody's rank 5 going into LOL. And I that one blew me away. Like, I didn't know that he had that sort of capability offensively. So
I've seen him take Killmonger on 29.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Now that I would love to see.
I think it was one of the 4 Loki guys.
Oh yeah.
B Manny or something.
Huh. That's got to take some skill there.
I was surprised too. I was like, really?
I'm playing through it in my head right now and trying to see what I would.
Because you know, like that armor break kind of shuts off Killmonger.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about the reverb so much. But I mean, he's still going to have a buttload of power coming to him. Like
he's not going to get that either if you're just sticking to the armor breaks, right? And I think he was just mostly using L3s. And okay. getting his armor break off somehow, I'm not sure.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I am not ballsy enough to try that, but I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
Speaking of war, what do you think of this new setup we have?
I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah, because a lot of people are saying like it's starting too early and stuff like that, but like you could just, if it's starting too early, you could technically you can just finish early, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, people got lives, people got jobs, people got school.
But if you think about it, like, because a lot of the times in the old system, people delayed like their initial movement for like half the day before they actually played.
Oh yeah, especially I ran Path 5 for a while, and
we don't get to move till the next day.
Yeah, you know, it's just kind of
yeah.
watch, eat some popcorn, laugh at people if they die.
Exactly.
Move forward a little bit to use some energy so you're ready to boost the rest
Yeah.
of the bus through 29.
That was like one of my main issues too. Like being like, I was always put on Path 5 due to like my skill, I guess. And but the problem is that's around when I start work, right? Yeah.
That'll mess with you hard.
Exactly.
That's a good 15 or so minute bathroom break there, you know? That's trying to find the time to hit the boost and get through to where you need to get to.
Yeah, plus the coordination with the other,
yep,
like Path 4 and Path 5 that's right beside you. And if they're not, you know, on point, then you're not moving, and that can be problematic.
There's nothing worse than just sitting there and waiting. Please, just take the note. You're sitting right there. Like, you already moved to it. Just take it.
Yeah.
You don't want to be a dick and start yelling, but at the same time, you do.
I get there. I get there. I get to that point. But nowadays, I just, like, whatever.
So, who's your nightmare on 29? Is there one?
My nightmare on 29. I don't know. I've been able to figure pretty much.
Thing didn't bother you guys much.
I know. I've never died to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was able to take Thing on 29 with Quake as a rank 4.
So was that your first war Thing encounter? You took Quake because she's your go-to?
Yeah, I took him on 29, and I finished with, I was max boosted, half suicides on, and I had 0 seconds left on the clock, and I killed him.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was close. So that's the next great. Time, I had a second chance to do that as well, and I went full suicides the next time, and I had 10 seconds left.
That's pretty great, man. Thing's no joke. I mean,
you would loot. I think you would not make it if you like parried once or twice.
Oh yeah, that'll fuck your whole day up, man. So
well, you would time out because that regen would actually like
it like, bump them up just enough to push the
time. Just enough, right? To make you time out. Yeah, yep. Exactly.
And that's gonna ruin a day. It's hard to get over a timeout or death for me until I can get to the next
floor
and try to make it through. Like it
to be honest, I was super confident I was gonna take him out before the fight, but like I actually got a little nervous when I saw how slowly he was dying. Yeah.
You know, it's funny to watch the chats as players figure out a new defender, and they figure out who they're going to use, and everybody tries to protect that information, you know, and it slowly gets out, or somebody else figures out the same thing, and it starts to
pass
around, and it's so funny how it just organically spreads over time.
I was guilty of being overconfident because, like, my chat was like, "Oh, you sure? Why don't you bring Gwenpool or something?" I did bring Gwenpool, but I still used Quake. And then I was like, "Yo, I'll bet an Odin that I solo him."
That's great.
And then as the fight's going on, I'm like, "Oh my god, I was talking so much smack. I have to get this kill."
So did they pay up?
Oh no, no one took the bet. They had a feeling I was gonna kill it, but like,
bitches.
But like, I was nervous because I talked a lot of smack. Right, because I was like, oh my god, I can't talk all that shit and not get this solo.
Yeah, you gotta back it up, man. You gotta back.
I know. So I put myself in jeopardy a lot of the times when I like talk, when I talk smack.
Otherwise, you gotta stay out of chat for a good 30 minutes. So hopefully something.
I know, and then you. Yeah.
You come back and like there's 20 memes of you dying posted in BG chat.
Exactly. It's funny, but yeah.
So, all right. So the new matchmaking. It looks like Kabam's thrown this together specifically because of collusion.
Because of people avoiding each other at the tops.
Because of avoidance?
For sure.
Is that what you think it is?
100%.
How big a deal has that avoidance been for them to make this big of a change?
Huge. Getting, like, when top alliances don't match each other, they end up matching, like, really, really much weaker alliances. And that results in the other alliance not being able to explore.
So Mutamat had a new article come out the day that I saw.
Right.
Basically, like, how to make masters. And he hinted around a little bit, but he doesn't. He's not an accusatory guy. He's not going to come out and say, hey, this is what people are doing. He just notices things in data. And he's like, you know, these master alliances might have done this many matches against a P2 or whatever. You know,
yeah.
I'm saying this because they got this many points. The only way to get this many points is because of, you know, several too many nodes left up. Is that the way that war has gone over the last 4 or 5 seasons? Like, is that what teams have learned to do to end up where they want to end up?
I will not doubt that.
Yeah. So is it, I've always wondered how they do it. Like, I've heard of the matchmaking rooms. I've heard of the, you know, hey, let's match up.
It's not so much as to, hey, let's match up. I think it's more like, hey, let's just not match each other, you know, like.
So I'm going to search now. You search an hour.
After I'm done, exactly, you know.
We'll message you. We'll let you know when we've got our match.
Yeah, that seems to be, like, what's happening.
Okay. So, I mean.
But basically, you just kind of get in contact with all the alliances that you think you're not going to be able to beat, right? And you'll be like, yo, let's just, why do we play each other?
So, from the viewpoint of the alliance that would win,
I mean, like, for instance, like, if you don't want to play MNG like every other week, right? So you're gonna go talk to MNG. You're gonna be like, hey, when are you searching, like, whatever. And if they don't respect you, they won't tell you their search time. But if they respect you, they'll tell you when they search.
Okay, so if I'm MNG, and I respect you, what's the benefit for me? I just get an easier war. I know I don't have to put up with you. I'm going to save some items.
It's more about not having to put up with whoever. It's you, all you can do is really avoid. You can't really target.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, because there's so many alliances, right? How can you possibly.
So it's, you know, and it's definitely easier at the master level because you.
So wait, because you're, as a master alliance, you're already quite strong, right? So there's not many groups that you really need to avoid. So you only need to talk to the ones that, like, that can beat you.
Right. And there's only, if you're at the very top, you've got, you know, between 5 and 10 that are even close to your war rating.
Exactly.
That could be matching you in a natural, quote unquote, natural match. So
and if you match anyone else, it doesn't matter to you because, you know, like, there's no competition.
You're going to destroy them anyway.
Yeah.
Whether it's a low level master, a high level P1, or even lower than that, you're going to destroy them. You might luck up and get some nodes left up as well. That's just going to boost you more anyway. It's going to add to season points and you're just going to skyrocket from.
Yeah, that was the old, like, what people were doing, but, like, that's not possible now.
Because of the new matchmaking system.
Yeah, now is great because now all the top alliances get to play each other for real.
So, and all right, so you saying it's great. Like, I hear.
Yeah, it's more fair. It's more fair.
I hear the competitor in you. Like,
yeah.
Whether it's talking shit before you go into a fight, you know. I mean, there's a lot of alliances that I see that they want nothing to do with this. They'd rather play that avoidance game and, you know, try to
well, I would want to play that game too because it was part of the game.
That makes sense.
But now that's not an option, so I'm going to go against it, right? Because it was part of the game, if other alliances were doing it, you're not going to be able to keep up if you're not doing it.
Okay, that makes sense. So, I mean, it's if you don't...
Yeah, because just because you're good and you want to, like, match top alliances, so that's great. You're going to get low deaths, but you're going to get explored, right? Meanwhile, like, some of these other smarter alliances, they're picking and choosing when they search. And so, they get an easy alliance somehow, and boom, now they're ahead of you, even though you played a way harder alliance.
So once you see one alliance do it and prosper, they move up.
Yeah, it's the right move.
Then like, it starts to catch on, and everybody's like, "All right, we've got to play this game within."
Yeah, you can't just play like how Kabam wants you to play, because how their system was set up. Like there were ways to play around it and be smart.
And once it's figured out by somebody, then it's pretty much got to be done by anybody who wants to stay at that level.
Exactly.
You're just gonna fall off, and you're gonna have.
Yeah, if you just like search when it's like according to your own work schedule and stuff, you know, because it's timely for you, it's not going anywhere.
So there's a learning curve to that. I'd imagine that as
oh, it's hard. I have nothing to do with it. I just, you know, whoever's in charge, like that's not my thing.
Right, right. No, I get you on that. It's an interesting aspect of the game. Like I said, it's a game within the game itself, and
you're right. Yeah.
You know whether anybody thinks it's right or wrong. It is what it is.
That saying where like we're playing chess when you're playing checkers.
Yep. 100%, man. It's if like I said, it's probably a big learning curve when there's alliances that are trying to bounce up from P1, where yeah. You know there's
what I was hoping for was like almost like NBA bracket style.
that would be great, man. That would
that was what I was wanting, like as a. But this is like this current system is almost going to be like that.
You know, if I think it'd be really great. I think they've got a lot of options that they could go with.
I think they nailed it because this forces everybody to be pretty much match at the same time.
I think it's gonna show skill. I mean, and that's what a lot of alliances want to do is you know, show off that skill and show who's the best.
This is great because like finding out those search times and when to like, you know, like safely search when you're not gonna run into like all these people, that takes a lot of work.
Well, yeah, I mean that's a lot of intelligence to gather. That's a lot of trust to win in people.
Oh, yeah, it's like mind games to the max.
Yeah, and those are always my favorite. I love to watch the shit go down in the chats, and there's a handful of people.
Yeah, you can hear them like all like complaining. You set us up.
Yeah, man, it's
that stuff. It's funny.
It's messed up how it goes down, but as a viewer, if, you know, if I'm looking at it as a television show, it's pretty great. I'm sure it pisses a lot of people off when they get screwed over, but
yeah,
not being in the middle of it, it's enjoyable. So
yeah,
I probably have a much different viewpoint of it, you know, if it happened to me. But I mean, like you said, game within a game. It's just kind of,
yeah, you like it's like all games, there's going to be strategies and like tips, tricks, loopholes and stuff that people are taking advantage of, and they're just getting ahead.
Makes sense.
You can choose to play how you think the game should be played, but people figure stuff out, and it's your choice to follow the curve or walk the other way.
I think it's a good way to put it. I mean, I'm excited to see the best go against the best. I'm excited to see Master Alliances go through a full season of war without that crutch to lean on. I think AQ is going to change that a whole lot. So a little bit of that excitement is kind of dampened. But
speaking of AQ, I'm trying to rank my Diablo.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard anyone say that yet. Is this simply a prestige move, or you have a use for him, like on diss track or something?
No, he's more of a... I would put him as a high... Like, how to describe him? I would describe him as a high prestige King Groot. You know, like that champ that just doesn't die because he has regen.
That makes sense.
So, like, I would like if I were to play him, I would just focus on his regeneration and just not die.
That makes sense. That makes sense. So, what rank?
Because he's rank 3 now. I'm waiting to get BT4s to get him to rank.
Okay.
4, then I can do rank 5.
What are you? I assume you're running pretty much all 7.
Is it? Yeah. Yeah. That's.
What are you carrying?
I'm quite positive the entire top 30 at least are running all map 7.
I would imagine so.
From what I can tell, from like, I think at least the top 30 are doing all 7s.
I saw some scores and I know that. Man, they skyrocketed this last week, which is cool.
Oh, and they're worth it. They're worth it. People are saying, "Oh, it's too hard," but like, man, if you can handle it, it's worth it.
I think it's a lot.
You finish it faster than map 6, believe it or not.
Is that? I think there's a lot of pressure on leadership. So we're in the second week of it now. We've got.
I think. Yeah, you're right about the pressure, but I think it's unnecessary pressure because it's easier to just let. Like, just not alter paths, like, just because the nodes are changing, let the players kind of, like, scout it themselves. Let them have the responsibility of adjusting to their own paths.
Adapt to the path, the new...
Yeah, rather than, like, just depending on one guy to, like, map out it every week, because it's going to change every week. That's going to be so tiring.
That would make sense. And, I mean, it's pretty unfair to just say...
Yeah, hey, just man, let this one guy plan it out every time. They're going to burn out and want to retire.
Yeah, exactly. I would hey, I'm at work, I can't do this.
So that was like happening with like my alliances too, and like they're like, man, this is crazy, we're gonna have to retire at this point, right? So I just came up with a suggestion. I'm like, why don't we just scout our own paths, like all 3 tiers before we enter, just make sure we can handle all like, you know, the nodes that are on our paths.
And switch up if you need to, but hopefully you don't need to.
Exactly. And then you can just request someone else. Be like, oh, I'm gonna have trouble with this. Like, I don't have anything for it. Like, can someone switch me there?
That makes sense.
Right? And then for the most part, someone's gonna be able to.
So in your mind, even with the cool changes to Alliance War, even with the more head-to-head matchups that we're going to have, AQ is still the thing as of right now, though. The changes they made.
Right now, I think AQ should be the focus.
I think so, too. And I think everybody saw that really, really quickly. So
yeah. I'm liking the Shards. I've almost formed a full, just this month, even like missing season rewards. I almost, yeah.
Have the map 7 crystals been good to you, or is it come mostly from your rank?
They've been good. Well, I never got the rewards for season, right?
Right, right. Well, they have been shit for me, but that's all right. Crystals are crystals, though.
I think the most I've gotten from a single crystal was like almost 2,400 shards.
Damn, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, they're apparently it's like. It has to be a really low chance because, like, a lot of people are getting nothing.
Yeah, they seem like map 6 crystal with the shards kind of tossed in every now
and then. Yeah, you hear guys like having like 10k drops, and I'm like, what?
That's wild. I want
to. Yeah, and then other guys are like, yo, I opened like 30 crystals and nothing.
That's pretty much me. I'll I'll own that one. It's been bad so far.
Yeah, there's a lot of those, and then there'd be like this these few guys that'd be like, "Oh my God, 4,000 from three crystals or something."
Those are the guys you don't want to see in Alliance chat at all. Like, fuck yourself.
Yeah, but they'll show up. They'll show up as soon as you show your bad luck. The good luck guys just like, oh, they've been lurking. They're ready.
Yep. Oh man, I hate to hear that. Look, hey, check what I got. Yeah. Every time. Every
totally.
Time. So, well, are Alliances going to, in your opinion, are they going to try to stay at the top of both? Are they going to take a hit in war and just prioritize AQ? Like, is there a balance there that they can strike?
To be honest, at this point, I'm not sure.
It's going to be interesting when the with this.
I personally think people are going to step back from war.
I think so, too. But I think they're going
to
be...
I think AQ would be the priority. Finishing that, I think, needs to be priority because, like, the rewards are too good.
I think people are going to be unpleasantly surprised as they take that step back and 10 alliances.
And I don't think it's that much of a step back, to be honest. Like, many people's rosters are giant now that, like, you're... The champs that you aren't bringing to AQ are more than capable to handle
still
war.
Monsters. Yeah, they're still monsters.
Yeah, and guys at the top, some of them already have like 9 rank 5s. Of course, right. You can afford to do everything.
We're going to have, you know, the 6-star Corvus and a...
And it's just a matter of time before we have like 10 plus.
Mm-hmm. I think that they're going to see a lot of the same matchups that they had seen before.
But yeah, for the most part, it's not going to be much different, but like that's only because like everyone's roster is constantly growing.
Yep.
And you're going to be able to do everything.
Exactly. So where are you as far as 6-star progression goes? Are you switching focus to those as you get the worthy ones, or are you still looking at, I want to get R5s?
I just want to get the R5s as of right now because they yield the most prestige. Currently.
Makes sense.
I wouldn't focus on 6-stars until you can have that 6-star enter your top 5 in some way.
That makes sense.
Because right now, like, the top alliances, our top 5s are, like, signature 200, right?
So let's say you get a 6-star Quake.
I would rank her.
Yeah.
I would rank her.
Makes sense.
Unduped, all right, she's going up.
Yeah,
if I have
sure.
to leave my alliance to do it, I would.
We still gotta have fun, right? Like that's why we started playing to begin with. So I mean,
yeah, it's she's too good to me not to rank. If I had a 6-star Quake, oh boy.
Well, I mean, you could AQ with one, and you could AW.
Yeah, because right now, personally, I would have to. I actually use Quake in AQ, and I don't think I can do it with a 4-star Quake. Like the map 7 cost right now, and it doesn't look like that's happening.
Yeah, that's I don't know. That would be worrisome to me. I'd be stressed the whole
time. Yeah, just last AQ, I timed out on one of the fights. I mean, I didn't time out. I finished on 0-0. Yeah, it was. It was that Lazarus node. You know that one?
Yeah, that's they've come up with some pretty creative stuff, man. Like
I like it. Like the way Quake beats it is just by killing them all 5 times that they like come back to life.
Over and over and over.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of like killing them 2 times over.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. So so you said right now you're in 3 alliances.
I'm in 2.
Are you playing at the same level with both? Are you?
Yeah, that'll be interesting when I match myself. I don't know.
So how does that work out? You just go and try to kick ass as best as you can and let the card.
Yeah, I think like that's all I can do.
I mean, there's not much else to do about it. I mean,
and like if we win, if we lose, whatever. Because at the end of the day, I think AQ is the priority here.
Yeah, for sure. You can
and
also...
winner, like a few wins, a few losses, at the end of the day, you're going to end up in Masters.
So the question there is, do your alliances know about your other account in the other.
Yeah, I'll eat it in a second. Thanks. My brother made some sashimi.
Ah, very nice.
Yeah.
So are your alliances aware of you in the other alliance?
Yeah.
And that's not like a weird thing. It's just kind of the way it is.
It was weird with like other groups that I've been trying to join. Like it's hard to join. Like, yeah, but you just kind of shop around until like you find an alliance that will accept you.
Gotcha. So that brings us to a video that came out last season, towards the end of the season. I think you know the one I'm talking about. There was an in-depth investigation into... into a mole account.
Oh, yeah, that account that I was using.
So...
Actually, I'm no longer in possession of that account.
Gone. It's not you, it's somebody else at this point.
Yeah, it's it was lended to me, or lent to me.
Okay. So is the mole accusation correct? Or is this just
about me?
Yes.
No.
So it's just a situational sort of weird fucking story, basically.
Yeah. And while that story happened, the alliance that I was actually part of happened to match the alliance that accused me of being a mole.
This is after you no longer had the account in that alliance?
Yeah, no account in that alliance. I don't even know when that account was in that alliance.
Wow, that's funny. So
yeah, that account was lent to me from my friend because they want me to play still, you know.
Gotcha. So they were pretty upset about the whole thing. I mean, that was like a 20-minute video with...
Yeah, and you can imagine I was also upset because I was being accused of something. I know that it wasn't me.
Well, sure. I mean, you go through the stuff with Kabam, you know, basically lose an account for a while. And then this happened right after you got your account back, right?
Yeah, so I was like, man, I'm really turning out to be some like crazy villain.
Dr. Blythe.
Yeah, got the name to match.
That's pretty great, man. That's so has all that blown over? Is this alliance still thinking that you are a super villain, pulling strings? Like,
they may very well be. Or not, it doesn't matter at this point because it's in the past. It's in the past. Like, just move on.
So is the mole strategy a real thing employed by some alliances, or is that just?
I definitely don't think it's worth anyone's time to do anything of that nature.
I was gonna say it's. I mean, that would take a lot of work. Like, you got to be really, really committed to be able to pull that off. And
yeah, it's definitely not worth anyone's time to do anything like that.
I don't know that you could make enough of an impact on an alliance as one player.
You really can't.
That was the main question I had was, you know, if you're throwing, I get there are close wars. I get there's, you know, sometimes you have a really great matchup and it comes down to a kill or a couple of kills.
It's a few shards. So what? You lose. You win. Whatever.
And you still get a lot of points. I mean, you get a lot of points in tier one no matter
what. Yeah, and people like, I don't know, man. I don't know why they go so crazy. But like, dude, so what if you lose? Look at your account. You've still got like 8 rank 5s.
Yeah, right? Everybody wants. I mean, you know, a good percentage of players have the same mindset you do.
Honestly, like, it gets on my nerves when like people like act like it's the end of the world when like you've seen like one death, you know, like oh my god, one death, and then you hear people flipping out on like your alliance main chat and stuff. I'm like, come on, really?
I mean,
there's a lot of... Who the hell did that? Where is it coming from? oh my god, witch hunt, let's find who died. Oh my god, it was this guy, look at his items. Yeah, that stuff just turns me off. I'm like,
freaking items, seeing who snuck the revive in there and healed up real quick.
Yeah, so usually when I see like that sort of stuff, I just like ignore it. I'm like, whatever, I don't care. I don't even care if they finish their path or not, to be honest.
Well, you know, it's a lot more fun when everybody's doing their job and doing well and winning. But I mean, the deaths come with it. That's part of the game. You know, I mean, it's gonna happen.
Like, I mean, we're all like, people are human, you know, like shit happens.
Exactly.
Internet connection. You don't know what can happen.
For sure. So back to the mole thing real quick. There was something real similar that happened a couple of seasons ago. There were some kicks of a few different Alliance members during a war. Do you remember that going on? I want to say it was like MMX and ISO8.
It was.
Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I do. That did happen.
So this is a merc who still has logins, basically getting paid off to bounce into one of those accounts and start kicking people during a war.
Yeah, I don't want to like accuse anyone, but I know for sure there was an initiator and their intention was to win the war, and the other Alliance also had information, so they retaliated.
Wow.
So that's... basically they both did the same things to each other in a way.
That's crazy. So
within that same war, but the initiator ended up having the short end of the stick there, because they ended up not finishing their war.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like the aggressor, we'll call them, made the first move, and then the other Alliance figured out what was going on. I imagine it took them a little while, but I mean, once they saw things happening, you know, they go into meltdown mode. They demote this officer. And then I guess they probably start scrambling to figure out how this happened, who's doing it, why it's going on. And so they retaliate. And the initial aggressor ends up not finishing, losing a bunch of points, losing the war.
Someone happened to log into their account and just, like, kept logging on in the last, like, hour or so, right?
To prevent them from being able to fight, they just continuously logged in over and over and over again, so it would so they're kicking each other back and forth out at, like, logging each other out over and over potentially for a few hours at the end of a war.
And now looking back at it, you would realize how dumb everything was. Like, you really went that far.
But also hilarious for anybody that's not involved with it. I
mean, like, yeah, because like being in a lower alliance too, because I also play in lower alliances. I've been in gold alliances and stuff. Like, I like it there.
It's a much more laid back sort of environment.
It's extremely laid back. Like, you don't even need to pay attention.
Yeah. Go in, do your thing. If, you know, if everybody finishes, great. I mean, not to say gold alliances don't want to do well.
And you don't, and like, one of the biggest things to, like, if you actually like want to enjoy, like, just don't, like, don't act like it's the end of the world when you don't get what you want from, like, a crystal. Oh, you know. Oh, and even better is if you're not gonna buy them in general. Like,
it's, you're gonna
let the whales buy their crystals, but like, as regular players, you can easily just do this, like, get everything by grinding.
Oh, for sure. You're gonna pull Kamala. Like, there's no way around it. Like, go ahead and get comfortable with the idea. You're going to dupe Iron Patriot a handful of times.
Yeah.
Like, those are just the things that happen. They're a rite of passage for every player at this point. Like, the meltdown over it and the end of the world scenario when you get that pull. It's just not worth it. It's
totally. My strategy from, like, very early was just to not open the feature crystals.
So you stay away from those as much as possible?
I've only opened 7 features ever.
Did they work out?
No. Zero for 7. Like, the worst pulls ever. Like, my first seven were all features, and like they were so bad, I just gave up forever, like till now.
Yeah, I've stayed away from them for the most. I've done a couple here and there. I've had a little bit of luck, but
and I'll have to say it pays off to just like just keep doing basics, because like your roster is gonna grow like so much faster.
Yeah, you get them half again as fast as you would if you were pulling
features. Yeah, and even if you pull all like these lemons and stuff that you think are like bad champs, you never know. Like down the road, what if they get a buff? Look at She-Hulk.
Yep, hell, Luke Cage. I mean, I know a guy who R4'd his Luke Cage a long time ago.
This is I already ranked my She-Hulk.
You're that excited about her?
I was already like using her before.
For real?
Yeah, I like her.
Hey man, whatever makes you happy. I mean, I've got some terrible champs I like to use.
She's not terrible. She packs damage. People don't. I mean, like
it's during a
stun. She's not like some serious like character, but like if you just bring her into content, she kills fast.
It's her
parry heavy.
She parry heavy, and then while they're stunned, she gets is it while they're stunned she gets a pretty big boost on that heavy?
Yeah, that's right. And she, you know how like it's a two-hit heavy, right?
Yep.
So when she has a special, you can actually take that attack boost into your specials by canceling your heavy halfway into a special.
So land the first hit of the heavy, roll it right into a special.
To a L2 or something, yeah.
Kind of like a cap IW situation, basically.
Yeah, so she's always been able to do that, and that's how you pretty much get to play her. And like she gets some serious crit damage if like when she crits with those specials.
Huh, interesting.
But if you were just to use their specials just a standalone without that stun and without that heavy, then she's very, like, not strong.
Real basic. I gotcha.
Yeah, so, but, like, you kind of have to, like, realize, oh, I didn't know you could do that.
See, I've already learned something now.
Yeah, so Cap Infinity War was more obvious, right? She-Hulk wasn't as obvious, but that's pretty, I've been doing it for, like, a long time. It's just the same way.
Huh. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So,
I didn't realize the similarity to Cap until just now.
Yeah, no, when you said it, that I use Cap a lot, so that kind of made some sense to me there.
Well, yeah,
I like him. He is a fun tanky guy to play with.
Yeah,
he's forgiving. Well,
you know what it is? It's because Cap has that longer fury.
Yeah,
like after you're heavy, it's still there. Because yep. She-Hulk. After your heavy's over, it's gone.
Huh. I'm going to have to go read a little bit about her description before they change it.
The fury, her fury length is very short, right? But like, if you cancel a heavy halfway, then it lands.
That's pretty cool. I can impress some people now. I've seen some nice videos from her beta.
Yeah.
Did pretty good with keeping them cornered and taunting them. And she was
winning. Yeah, with the old She-Hulk, I killed the I practiced against Maze Korg. I took him down with her.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll never hear that again, I'm sure.
Well, with the new She-Hulk, I'm sure she could.
Yeah. That would I don't know. I see people arguing about Spider-Gwen or She-Hulk and who's going to be the top one out of those two. And I'm not real impressed with Harvey from Spider-Gwen, which sucks. She's smooth to play with. Like she's kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, at least she's not pure crap anymore. You know,
no.
she has damage, which means she's a good, she could be put as a diverse defender.
Yeah, I think she might, you know, how when Jugs changed, he caught a couple of people off guard. I think Spider-Gwen might be able to do the same.
Yeah.
I think it'll last that long, but there might be a little surprise here or there for somebody.
I think anyone can get a kill. Like, someone just needs to have a bad day.
I was going to say, anybody can have a bad day too, man. Like, yeah. there's days where I personally play war kind of safe. And, you know, sometimes... Yeah. Just goes stupid for 2 or 3 days. Either parents or me. I'm not sure which one.
I've gone super stupid. Like It happens.
There's days where I forget to mute my phone, and you know, I'll get 2-3 phone calls in a row, and I'm in the middle of a fight, and yeah. I'm just hoping that
I had a day where I was just I don't know why, very tempted to fight Korg with my Winter Soldier.
Wow.
I died, but right?
Yeah.
But I went for it.
So what do you think is going to happen with war next? Are we going to have like a long time where AQ is king and then they're going to kind of flip it back? Are we going to go more towards that model that you were talking about, or are they just going to come back in and throw some global buffs at us and say, here?
I think eventually war will again be like, for now, AQ will take like the primary focus, but I think war will catch up soon. Once everyone's rosters kind of can like support both content.
Yeah. We've seen the flip a few times.
Yeah. Now, you know? For now you want to not like miss your path. Cause I've saw some screenshots going around where like, if you don't clear Kingpin, you lose a lot of prestige. And oh, like,
sure.
I saw something where like it was like minus. I can't. It was a lot. You lost a lot of prestige for like not clearing.
Than you would on a map 5 or map 6 situation.
Yeah, it pretty much like took you out of any chance of like.
Your rank is done.
Yeah, pretty much. It's done. It basically means just drop back down to map 6, dude, for that week.
Do some less expensive maps. Try again.
Actually, no. I would still do map 7 because you want those map 7 crystals, and you want.
Yeah, true.
And just for like the remainder of the clearance, because each BG you still get 100 shards of like T5,
true.
Right?
That is
so
true.
As a top alliance, you're gonna want every chance to get any basic tier 5s.
So you think we'll be on this pattern for a good 6 months or so before we start hearing little whispers of an alliance war change? They usually seem to go.
I don't know. I like this system. I think it's working.
Yeah. You know, there's rumblings here and there. Some people, I mean, I dig it. It's fun. I like it when things change.
I like how like you can't really avoid anyone anymore.
Yeah. That's going to be fun to watch. Like I said, as a fan of the game and watching it play out.
The old system was just more of a chess, like mind game kind of setting. Like skill, yeah. Like skill was good too, but like you only want to use your skill like when you really need to.
Yeah, for sure.
But for the most part, if you can win with just mind games, why not?
So, there's a lot of rumblings back and forth. You know, I see a lot of the war alliances complaining that, you know, all skill isn't going to be important anymore. This is just, this is all roster. This is all prestige. You don't even have to be good at the game. You just go through AQ. It's mindless, blah, 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 blah. I don't think those are necessarily.
I think Kabam's heading in the right direction when it comes to difficulty to force people to actually have to respect the content.
Sure.
Because, you know, before with map 6, when war was on, people were bringing crap champs to map 6 and they were clearing no problem.
Oh, steamrolling it. No problem at all.
Yeah. So, like, basically, map 6 is supposed to be the hardest, like, supposed to be the, it was supposed to be, like, the hardest, like, progression content kind of thing.
Right. And we don't expect alliances to run this 5 times a week and all that bullshit.
Yeah. Like, it got to the point where, like, anyone was running it like 5 times a week because everybody, like, the nodes never changed.
Sleepwalk through it. No big deal.
So now map 7 is changing every week. It's forcing people to adapt. So you can't just bring like the same old champs every time.
Right. You've got to be able to adapt to it and to be.
Yeah. And then with war going on, like, because before you could just like put all your focus into war and like just treat AQ as like a chore.
So that brings up another question. Let's go way back to season one.
Right.
I believe piloting. And I believe that you were a champion of season one. Is that?
I came third.
Okay.
But so, the alliance that I am part of now, they came first.
There you go. That works out. But like you said, that was the season of pilots. We had a full, and this was the long season. Those first two seasons were twice as long as they are now, right? So,
oh man, wasn't that first season like how many months?
I wanted 3 months. Die.
It was 3 or 4 months or something.
Please just.
It was insane. Like, come on, man, this is like an NBA season.
Yeah, no, it was. I hated it so much at the end. Like, I couldn't wait for it to be done.
These 1 month seasons are good.
I agree. I mean, it still has that level of stress.
It lets you reset the race every month, you know? So you're like,
yep.
Okay, cool. Like, you know, you're.
After that first season,
yeah,
everybody was piloting. It was a common thing. It was open.
It became the thing to compete. Like, since everybody was doing it, and if you weren't doing it, you couldn't compete.
Right. That was the game within the game of season one. And then Kabam comes out and they lay the hammer. Well, they didn't really lay a hammer down, but they did smack some people around some, right?
Yeah.
Changed up things. People were pretty surprised. There were a lot of arguments. There was a lot of back and forth. And it ended up where, all right, so we need to move away from piloting. And some people tried to find some sneakier ways.
It worked for a bit, and then, you know, eventually it didn't, right?
Players are smart, you know. Like you said, they figure stuff out. So,
and then once Kabam finally figured it out, players adapt again.
Exactly.
And they started recruiting the best of the best. They're looking for all the best players.
Exactly. So you look at the top.
And people only piloted before because they wanted to stay with their original group. They don't want to jump around.
Correct. They didn't want to go learn a whole new team.
They wanted to be with their friends that they played with. You know, like, oh, man, but, like, maybe their friends don't have enough skills.
Exactly.
So hence piloting.
It was a
Way to, like, for people to continue to play together.
Correct. And still get the rewards that they wanted to get.
Exactly. So then after the piloting whole issue, then obviously a bunch of alliances disbanded.
And we started having super alliances.
Exactly. With like all like the best players are all like clustered together now.
Yep. Which was fun to see. Again, as a fan, it's kind of cool. It's
What happens to the contest is a result of like the rules within it, right?
Yep. 100%. So that brings us to today.
Yep.
Now we're in the first iteration of the new AQ. We're in week two.
I think it's damn near perfection, my personal opinion.
Are we going to have the same issues in this new AQ that we did in season one of Alliance War when it was King Vin?
Is there more? Okay. I'll be in a bit. Sashimi. Sorry, what?
How's the sashimi?
I haven't eaten it yet.
Man, I'm sorry. I'm taking up all your time.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
So are we going to have the same issues in AQ today that we had in season one of War? When War?
What do you mean?
Are our top alliances all pilot alliances?
No.
Going back to that,
I think piloting is dead.
Well, Kabam, as far as I know, has never really cracked down on AQ for anything.
I really don't think AQ piloting is going to happen. The fights take too long. There's too much time.
Okay.
That's maybe one or two, three, but like I've done like my own AQ and it takes a lot of my time.
That's an interesting point. I haven't heard anybody bring up the time of the fights and the paths. That would be a lot more work than
it is a lot of time, man. Like, dude, you don't want to help anyone with these things. It's their items. They should be able to spend it. Like,
so do you think the amount of links that are there is a control that Kabam put in to try to deter that piloting? Because as I'm running through it in my head,
from
I'm
what
like,
I've noticed, the Lynx aren't stopping anyone. Both the alliances that I've been in, no one even cares about the Lynx. We're just pushing right. We just walk right through them.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
And with the top alliances, you're like, you have the skill, because from all the war experience and stuff, you kind of just read the Lynx, and you're like, oh, it's doable. Then you'll go for it.
Okay. That makes sense. It's
and that's kind of like the strategy to work around time zones, and we like top alliances are pretty much forcing, like, they're not forcing, but like as members, like we have this, we just look at it, we're like, oh man, that's not hard.
Blow through it, move on to the next one, and keep going. Use
and at the same time, you're not waiting for like this one dude that you don't know when he's gonna show up, right?
Yeah, very true. Very true. Well, that, I mean.
And there's champs that can handle all these things now. If you, like, look at your paths and you're just plan to, like, take them all linked, like, you add that into your, like, team selection. But obviously there's going to be some people with, like, that aren't down with that, right? Like, they're not going to go through these links. They're willing to wait, like, 8 hours for this person to, like, maybe show up.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe that kind of is not for them.
How many 1% Corvuses do you see moving around the map and busting through nodes?
Tons. I mean,
exactly.
That's the way to do it.
All I need is 1%.
That's right. That's the key. And you know what? That 1% Corvus doesn't waste potions.
Oh, he puts in work, man. He puts in a
lot. He puts in work, and he saves a hell of a lot of potions.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I it's
mine is a 4-star. I don't even have a 5-star yet.
You get a lot of use out of them.
My top AQ score so far, 10 million, over 10 million.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, because actually I've been able to take out Kingpin linked with Quake, actually.
For real?
Yeah, she took him down in one timeout and 2 more minutes.
That's not bad, man.
So that's like 5 minutes.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, but he's one of the harder ones because of his random jumping out of the stun.
Yeah, that's the tough part with him is he's like a crackhead the way he bounces out of that, man. You think you're kind of safe and you relax for just a second and then all.
But if you die, whatever, like. There's the rest of your BG, they'll chip them out with Corvus.
Exactly. There are a lot of beautiful things in AQ. The timeout is one of them. And then having everybody else have your back is the other one.
And the only one that you don't need the time. I mean, like, you wouldn't want to rely on the timeout when it comes to those, the sub mini bosses.
Right.
The ones with the 15 minute timer.
Yep.
Yeah. You want to just fight that one. I've seen some people fight that Emma. I saw like 450 hit combo or something.
Good lord.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, what the heck? I forgot who they used. I think it was Vision.
Wow.
Vision versus Emma, 450 hits.
450 sounds about right with Vision, man. That's that's mind numbing, man. That's I don't know, 15 minutes on a fight is
But it didn't take you know, it doesn't take 15 minutes to hit 450 or whatever.
No, but you're playing around her specials and.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good like 5-6 minutes though.
Yeah.
But that's so cool too. So it's kind of like, I like those fights too. Cause like you're focused for longer periods of time.
Yeah. I don't know that I have the focus to do those constantly though. That's always a tough thing for me. Like Labyrinth is maddening just simply because of the length of them. I liked Variant a lot more because I was able to kind of get in and get out of fights in a relatively okay amount of time. Like I didn't have to go sit somewhere by myself for a while and like focus. So
yeah,
but I mean, it's good.
I enjoy Variant.
Variant's fun. I can't wait until the new one comes out, whenever that's going to be.
I can't wait until Act 6. That's coming up next.
Are you excited for it? It's I think the 6th is
going to be today. I'm excited now, but I don't think I would be before. but now I would be, because Variant was actually hard for me, like, when it first came out. Like, there's so much, there was so many nodes that were, like, a lot harder than what we were used to.
Oh, for sure. They got very creative with that. I was pretty impressed. I mean, I was angry, but I was impressed.
Yeah. But then, like, now, if I were to do it again, like, it wouldn't cost anything. Like, almost nothing, right?
It'd cost me something, but I get where you're going with it.
Yeah. I mean, like there's way, there's, you, people figure, if you've done it enough times, you're going to figure out how to get it done for, like, almost nothing.
Yeah, you figure out the tricks, you figure out the right counters, you make sure you're bringing the right team. There's not so much experimentation going on. That was
the personally for myself, like, at first, like, my own variant, like my, on my main account, I spent a lot. I just kept throwing Odins at it until, like, it was done, right? Like, that's the strategy at the tops.
Oh, are you the type that new content hits and you've got to finish it immediately, or do you sit back for a little while? And
now I would take my time, but, like, at the time when Variant was came out, I wasn't much of, like, a person that would, like, enjoy solving it, like, in that sense where, like, you're worried about spending.
You just want to,
like, that did, like, I just started recently getting, like, more into that, like, how to, like, not spend.
Work the puzzle a little bit.
Yeah, and it's actually fun, like, once you start to figure out, because this is after, like, I've done, like, Variant over 10 times now.
Why 10 times?
For practice.
Gotcha. So, I'm looking forward to Act 6. I want to, it's only going to be one chapter, but I definitely want to blow through it as fast as I can. I'll have to throw some money here and there, but I mean, it's fun, and I want to see, I guess it depends on the rewards. I mean, like, when Maze hit and Variant sitting there, I couldn't bring myself to care about Maze at all when I look at the rewards for it. Even with Variant being permanent content that I can go back to at any point.
I just kept throwing Odins because I had two accounts to handle.
Yeah.
So I think I did both my Variants within, like, the same week, and then my Mazes pretty much within the time I did the Variants.
Wow.
But that's just with, like, I think I'm not the only one, but, like, that's, like, the wrong way to approach it. Like, if you did it like that, guarantee you're gonna spend too much.
Oh, for sure. You spend to get it done fast. I mean, or you sit back and you wait, you experiment, you see what other people are doing, wait for the videos to hit.
Yeah, like, eventually, I think, like, as players, like, people always gonna figure out how to beat everything. And, like, they're gonna find the best ways, the best teams.
Sure. And people love to share, you know, whether it's coming from a brag or coming from a, I want to help people out.
Yeah, because I remember when Variant first came out, like, we were doing it, we were like, oh my god, this is, like, at least an Odin per chapter.
It seemed like it, but I mean that...
Except for chapter one, there was that Killmonger glitch, everyone was using that one.
I was about to say, that Killmonger thing...
I used it, I beat chapter one in the first day.
You know, it's, I mean, they should have done better. I don't know what else to say there. Like, it's, test more, you know, make sure that things are working the way you want them to work. If you don't want people to do stuff, but,
I thought that was, like, a legitimate buff, but I was like, oh man, too good to be true. Cause he literally became the best character in the game for, like, at that point.
A lot of people did. I mean, there were
plenty. I was like, yo, is this real? Like, I'm healing, like, 24/7 from having suicides.
I mean, like, zero damage after an L2, just keep your charges up and, like,
zero damage after an L3.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty mind blowing. It was definitely one of those things where when I saw it, I got worried. like, man, I want to use this, but oh God, sometimes they go insane over things and, you know, just start distributing bans and taking things away. And
dude, I was healing from fighting Void in AQ.
With suicides?
With full suicides. Jeez. Four star Void or Killmonger versus Void.
That's insane. Yeah, that's one of those things that you see it and you love it and you just know that it's only
going to last. And then you take a step back and you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
There's no way this is like intended.
Let us do this for any reason at all. That's, yeah, it's, that was fun though. I mean, it was just playing around with it and experimenting with it, seeing what he could do and what he could take. That was,
I had a blast. I'm not gonna lie. That was like the best. I used Killmonger for everything during those days.
So what do you want to see in the game? Like, if you could add any one thing that you wanted to make it better, make it more fun for everyone, what would you throw in there?
Make it more fun for everyone.
I mean, is it just the change to Alliance Wars where we've got that sort of a bracket?
I think the key to like having more fun is to care less about like unfortunate circumstances, unless it's a ban, right? Because that's not fair.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
But like unfortunate circumstances, such as like one of your members, like something happened, they couldn't, you know, finish their path or something, and you make it seem like it's the end of the world. Like I think that. If people like didn't care as much as they do, it'd be a better game. I don't know. It's just like the stress of it all, you know, like when you're bashing on someone for whatever reason.
Sure. So would a quality of life change be allowing
I don't know, but that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
No, I mean, I don't think so either. It's fun to talk about and give
commitment. Yeah, it's just human nature, but like, you know, some people like certain personalities, right? You know, but like it's going to be happen everywhere. Like if someone like doesn't clear or like, you know, they went to a party, a really nice party, and like got too drunk, can't finish AQ. Stuff like that happens.
They don't show up for 12 hours because they're sleeping it off, that sort of thing.
Or they're completely shit-faced.
Died 3 times in 1 minute. Somebody take that, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drunk warriors are not fun, I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
All right, well, man, I'll let you get to your food that your brother made. I definitely appreciate you spending the time with us. It's been pretty interesting. I got to learn some stuff about She-Hulk. That's always fun.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to like hear the podcast over too. Like,
definitely. Yeah, I will. I'll be getting this all scrubbed up and ready to go. And
yeah, cool. Send me the link when it's all done, and for I'll sure check it out too.
Thank you for your time, Vlad. You have a great night, man.
Yeah, you too, man. Thanks.
All right, see ya. Alright guys, that's the first episode of MCOC Dirt officially in the books. Had a really great guest. Really appreciate Dr. Blythe coming through and spending the time with us and giving us the info. We talked about what happened with his ban, how it happened, and why it happened. Talked about getting over it and getting his account back. We went over some of the alliance fuckery that's gone on in the past with wars. Talked a little bit about AQ. So give us a sub. Come back and listen some more. We plan on having some more really great guests that really speak openly and honestly about what goes on in the game. Beyond that, thanks for listening.